Good to see you in the Lord's house tonight. Amen. I'll have to say I've enjoyed the meals. Amen. And I have also ate three desserts. Amen. It is. There's just something about desserts is spiritual. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it is yet. I'm searching the scripture daily so I can figure it out. But that's right. Be made fat. One place it says, amen. The Lord sure is sweet. That's not in there, but that is true. Amen. But I have to confess, my plate wasn't as piled as high as the preacher's. And I didn't go quack quite as often as the preacher. Amen. And he was, I thought, boy, praise the Lord. Amen. He's a growing boy. Amen. Oh, goodness. But we've enjoyed the day so far, and we're praying that God will bless and work in the meetings each night. And if you're like me, you want it to be more than just a meeting. I mean, that's what it is. It is a time that's set apart that you come and you come to the house of God and you hear preaching, you hear singing, all the special things that go on. But I'm praying that God will do something inside me. This one thing I've learned in doing evangelistic work, every time I go into a church, I want God to do something in me. I want Him to do something in me. I don't want it to become mechanical. I don't want it to be just another meeting. I want God to do something in me. And I pray that way. And I pray that God will also work in your heart. Amen. Because in these days, God's people need to stand and be a light. Let our light shine. Let folks see Jesus in us. Because somebody's watching us. Amen. Thankful that He is watching over me. But then we need to be reminded there's other folk is watching us. And they need to see the Lord Jesus. So I trust you found your place. 143, Psalm 143. And I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. That's reading the entire psalm. Let's pray. And let's ask for the Lord's blessing. Father, again tonight, Lord, we come to thee thanking you, Lord, for your blessing and your goodness. And Lord, just want to bless your name for being good to us. Your mercy and your grace to us, Lord. Rightly, we could not tell it all. Lord, you're good to us. And Lord, we want to be thankful for it. I pray that you'd help us now as we look to your word. I pray that you'd begin to do in us, again, Lord, that needs to be done. Lord, you know where we are. You know the burdens that are upon our hearts. You know, Lord, those things that folk are facing that I may not have any idea what someone in this room may be facing. But, Lord, you know. You know every bit. You know every detail. So I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help and bless. And, Lord, give us those things that we need. Lord, that'll cause our heart to be warm, our hearts to be tender. Lord, our spirits to be refreshed and renewed. And, Lord, that we could rightly say when everything's said and done that you gave us a touch of revival. I pray that you'd grant that. Have your way now. Help me as I preach. Help the folk as they listen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to call your attention especially to verse number 8 of Psalm 143. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Here, David is rightly, just from the reading of it, you realize David's going through a rough time. His enemies are persecuting him. You could say, let's see, Oh, goodness, in verse number 3, he said, talking about his enemy persecuting, said, he has smitten my life down to the ground. I mean, he'd beat him down to his socks. I mean, he was out. And everything he turned, everything he did, it just nothing working. And it just seemed like every place he turned, there was no help for his soul and no help for his life. And David was crying out unto the Lord. Now, before I get too far into the message tonight, I will be talking about Barbara's lymphoma. Many of you have asked me about it, and I'll be talking about it a little bit tonight in the message. For I've discovered as a child of God, when you go through times, and we're talking about with David's life, times of trouble, all of us face it. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's life. Someone asked me one time, said, Brother Steve, said, why do Christians have trouble? I said, because they're living and breathing. That's why. Amen. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves because of our hardness of heart or our rebellion against the Lord. We sin. God has to judge and God has to deal with us like children. Amen. Sometimes we bring trouble on ourselves. Sometimes we just need to realize that trouble comes because we're living and breathing. We're part of life. And as Job said, the man that's born of woman's a few days and full of trouble. He said that troubles in the life of an individual is like the sparks of a fire that fly upward. That's just part of it. It's part of it. And so as God's children, our testimony shines the brightest when the days are the darkest. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is for all of us. Whether you're in the work of God or whether you've not done anything for the Lord in many, many years, that's just the way it is. Sickness comes. I deal a lot now because I have gray hair. Amen. I deal a lot with folk coming up and saying, "Preacher, ask me about this. Ask me about that." I dye my hair so I look old. Amen. Really. Oh, I had a fellow ask me that one time. Said, "You color your hair?" And I said, "Do you think I make it look like this?" Amen. Folk will come up and because of where I am now, I have a greater understanding now of folk going through things than I did when I first started pastoring. I started pastoring when I was 26 years old. I felt good all the time. I feel good all the time now. I just don't always get out. Amen. It's up here that I feel real good all the time. Amen. Sometimes my body doesn't cooperate anymore. But anyway, this thing of living for Jesus, especially in these days, you're going to have trouble. There's a song. I think it's in this songbook. It is Well With My Soul. It has quickly become one of my favorite songs. Matter of fact, in the camp meeting we have in Shelbyville every year, we sing every evening service, we sing It Is Well With My Soul. And it has become the favorite of a lot of the folk that come. I remember there was, the camp meeting's always in August, and somewhere about October, I got a phone call. Phone call, a preacher friend of mine up in Kentucky, and it was his wife, LaBurl, and she called and she said, Brother Steve, she said, I just want to thank you for singing that song at camp meeting. I said, what song? And I kind of had an idea what she's talking about, amen. She said, It Is Well With My Soul. She said, we're going through some times, and she began to tell me just a little bit. And she said the other day, she said, the Lord brought that song to my mind. And she said, bless His name, it's always well with your soul. And it encouraged her. And there's so many times. And with this circumstances surrounding Barbara, this favorite song of mine has even become a more favorite song of mine. For the very first verse, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. And that's become a favorite song. It's become a dear song now. But I've learned by experience, when you're facing trouble sometimes, and we all do, then it's good spiritual sense for the child of God to go to the Word of God and ask the Lord, Lord, speak to my heart through this book and give me something from here. Because you see, when trouble comes, you've got to have an anchor. You've got to have something to steady your soul and take you through that, something that will not change, something that will not disappoint you, something that will not fail you. And there's only one thing in this world that fits that category, and that's the blessed Word of Almighty God. Nothing else will comfort. Nothing else will strengthen. Nothing else will give encouragement. Nothing else will give discernment. Nothing else will give direction. Nothing else can give you what this book can give you if you'll only open the book and let God speak to you through it. Amen. And so I took my own advice. I've been doing that for years, saying, get your verse, get your verse, get in the Bible, get your verse, let God give you something. And all of a sudden, I was facing something I'd never faced before. I'd faced it for others. I'd been involved with others who, I have been in the waiting rooms with families when the doctor would come out and say, yes, it is cancer and it's very bad. I've been in those situations. It's funny. When I say funny, I don't mean ha-ha funny. I mean it's odd. It's unusual. They'll come in, and the doctor will come out and say, come here, I want to show you something. And the family say, come on, preacher. And I just go back with the family. And I've looked at the screens where they show all these colored photographs now of all these tumors and all this stuff. And I hear the doctor say, there's not much we can do with this. It's too far advanced. And I've wept with them, and I've had kids sit in my lap, daddy's so sick where they've done the biopsy, and I thought, my soul. But I've always said, go to the Word of God. Go to the Scripture. That's where your hope and that's where your help's going to be. And now all of a sudden I was having to take my own advice. And I found out that when I went to the Scripture, guess what? There was strength. Just like I'd told folk all those years, amen? Just like I told the folk all through the years, there is strength and help. And God gave me a verse. And guess what it is? Psalm 143:8. You say, preacher, that's an odd verse for that kind of situation. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. You know, when you're facing trouble in your life, it's hard to realize sometimes what you need to do about it. Divorce, loss of a job. When I talk about trouble, I mean, let's just cover the whole gamut, okay? Death. When you lose a loved one. I remember when my dad died of a heart attack in May of 1988, and the phone call came 2 in the morning, amen? All my boys were born at 2 in the morning, seemed like, amen, that's when we wake up, we got to go, you know, and that's when it all happened. And this phone call came 2 in the morning. I knew what it was when the phone rang. I knew what it was. And it was my sister calling, said, Steve, Daddy's had a heart attack and they've gone to him to the hospital. And so I called the emergency room. I knew where they were going. I waited, gave them time to get there. I called the emergency room, talked to my mom on the phone until my brother and my other sister was able to get there and to be with her in the hospital. I was living in Tennessee. They were way down the other side of Chattanooga. And so I knew. And it wasn't too long after that. Mama said, well, here comes the doctor. I need, and I said, okay, call me back in a few minutes. A few minutes, my sister called back and said, Steve, Daddy's gone. Daddy's gone. And immediately, verses from the Scripture begin to come to mind. Not only did God bring verses, He brought songs. He brought songs. Does your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the wild winds blow their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or will it firm remain? And I thought, I have an anchor, for that's what the chorus of that song says. And I found the Lord Jesus Christ to be real in the very fires of trouble. He's there. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But unless you get into His book, you'll not be able to pull from Him the strength that He desires to give you. Oh, me. And so we began facing these things with Barbara. I've shared it with many of you because many of you have asked. And let me say quickly before I go any further, thank you for your prayer. You've probably heard folks say, I feel the prayers of God's people. That is so, so true. You know God's people are praying. And in trouble, that's what you need. You don't need to be put out there on an island by yourself. You need God's people to hold you up. And thanks be unto God, there are faithful folk that love the Lord and love the brethren, and they hold one another up in prayer. Thank God for it. But we were facing things and situations and having to make decisions that I'd seen many times in the lives of others, but now it was us. It was us that was having to contend with these things. And so we needed direction. And that's why I think the Lord spoke to my heart out of verse 8, for he says, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Because we were facing financial things, we were facing medical decisions and other things like that. We had to deal with it. We had to face it, had to decide. And I am one that is persuaded that when the doctor, and I've said this to many folk, and I am believing it 10,000 times more now than ever, when the doctor says we don't know what to do, there's a doctor on heaven's side that knows exactly what to do, amen? And you can help yourself with that red hanky. It's a good time to wave it, amen? Because there's a great physician. He healed lepers. He opened blinded eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. He made lame men to walk. He raised folk from the dead. And hallelujah to God, it's the same Jesus, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's still able to do those kind of things. I'm not a healing preacher. I don't have a tent and have healing meetings. But thanks be unto God, there is a God in heaven that can still do that. Should he so desire, and if it's his will to do it, amen, he will. Amen. I'm still praying God will touch her. Somebody asked me, well, did he? And I said, give me a couple of years and I'll tell you. As we find out and get some things confirmed, we just don't know. What if he don't? He's God. And if he desires for us to walk through this valley, then bless God, he'll be with us. Amen. For I found out already he's the lily of it. Amen. But what do you do when you face these kind of things? How do you handle that kind of stuff? Well, I think we got some instruction from Psalm 143. Notice with me, would you please, the first four verses. David says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Notice verse 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. When trouble first hits, that's the way you feel. When the doctor tells you the first time, I remember, oh goodness, isn't it amazing with all the medical know-how they have today, it takes them 2 months to figure out what's wrong with you? Isn't that amazing? Look like they could, remember Star Trek when he'd go, beep, okay, and he tells you what's wrong. You remember that? Hey, man. Just scan you just like they do on the UPC code on a can of beans, and he knows what's wrong with you, amen. And it takes them 2 months to figure it out, amen. And I'm glad they can do it 2 months. I'd hate for it to be 2 years, amen. I'm glad we're living in a country that still's had a medical establishment that you can get into and get fixed, amen, and not have to wait your turn like they do in Canada and a few other places, amen. I don't want to get too political there, but thank God it's the way it is, amen. Could be better, yes. Yes, there could be improvements, sure, but we sure don't need what other places have, amen. Amen. But anyway, it took a long time, and you that have dealt with it, you know the ups and downs of it. One day you're thinking, oh, maybe I don't have it, and the next day, oh, I've got it, you know, and the next day, maybe I don't have it, and the next day, oh, I've got it, And I'll be very honest with you. Barbara said, well, let's just go down and measure me out a casket. Because lymphoma, all the lymphoma we'd ever dealt with was very aggressive. We had friends on heaven's side that are there because lymphomas killed them. So she said, well, I said, hey, we got to break this kind of mood, amen. We don't know what God's going to do. I said, don't you start thinking like that until the doctor says that's what it is, amen. I'm not a positive thinker, but believe me, I'm going to look on the bright side of anything, amen. And so that helped her mood a little bit, but then it'd come back and all the ups and downs of it. I remember the day the phone rang and the doctor said after they'd done the biopsy, he said, Mr. Freeman said, stay on the phone and get your wife. And I knew then that's probably a good thing. He was shocked. The oncologist was shocked. They had no idea. They looked at the biopsy and said, "This is not cancer. This don't look like it." But they all said that we will only know by doing a biopsy, and that's just the only way to know. And when it came back, it was lymphoma, B cell type of cancer. We'll get on all the names. The name's about this long, but anyhow, it's not a terribly aggressive lymphoma. So we're thanking the Lord for that. It's something that's very slow growing, so there's no treatments involved. But yet, she sat on the examination table, and she after he told us these things, she said, then I'm not going to die. Because we got 9 grandbabies, and Barbara said, I want to go to heaven, but I'm not planning on going this load, amen. And he said, he hugged her and he says, no, honey, you're not going to die. That helped her. And the Lord worked through that. And we've had two doctors to confirm those kind of things. But here I am. I'm the husband. I'm sitting here watching all this kind of stuff. And you know how Daddy raised me? Daddy raised me to fix stuff. Daddy's raised boys to fix things. Maybe Mama's raised girls to fix things. I don't know. We had three sons. We got no experience of raising girls. I got plenty of experience of spoiling granddaughters, but I don't have any experience of raising girls. Amen. So, Daddy raised me to fix things. When my dad died in 88, he had an old storage building out back behind the house, and that's where he kept all his junk. tools and all other kind of stuff. And my dad had apartments, and so things would go bad, he'd fix things. But Daddy was the kind of fella that he was raised up through the Depression days, and so everything was kept. Nothing was thrown away. Dad died, Mama said, well, you can have all the stuff in that building. I went through that and took it all home. I found burnt light bulbs in there. What do you do with burnt light bulbs? I have no clue. But he kept them. He'd take them out of the apartments and put new ones in, and he'd take the old ones instead of throwing them away. He'd put them out there in the building, a bucket. And so he kept them. And bent nails, rusty bolts, watches that didn't work, you name it. It's in that building, and I got it all. Amen. And I took all that junk back up to the house, and I thought, what in the world am I going to do with all this stuff? And I tried to start going through it, you know, sort all this stuff. Bent nails, rusty nails. Screws, you know how you get a screw in there and your screwdriver slips out and you just booger up the head and you can't get it out anymore. He kept screws, the head's boogered up. You couldn't have put it in or took it out if you got it in. Amen. You have one of those back out tools, you know, to do anything with it. He kept all that kind of stuff. And I thought, what am I going to do with all this? And then one of the commodes in the house, the little thing in the back. Now, I am an engineer, you can tell by the way I'm talking. That little flapper thingy in the back that goes up and down and lets the water out, it went bad. And why they go bad, I don't know. But it went bad. And I thought, I wonder. And I went out there fishing through Daddy's junk, and guess what I found? A brand new one. You know why? Daddy'd go to his building, he'd unlock the door, open up the door, and look at all that stuff, and he says, I know I got one. I just don't know where it's at. And he'd go to the store and buy another. And he'd fix whatever he had to fix. And in that building was what he bought, but he had no clue, didn't know where it was. Didn't have the heart to get in there and rumble around and try to find that, and so he'd just go buy another one. I have fixed a half a dozen things in my house by going throughout and stumbling around them old buckets with bent nails and burnt light bulbs, and I got there it is, washers and switches and breakers, brother. I found breakers out there. Replace stuff. Why? Daddy taught me to fix stuff. But all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I was faced with something that I couldn't fix. There's no way in this world that I could fix that. And so if you please, when trouble comes, the first thing you need to do is just confess up front, Lord, I can't fix this. That's what David was doing. David had come to the place in his life, as he said in verse 4, my spirit is overwhelmed. What was he saying? He was saying, Lord, this is way too much for me. This is too big for me, Lord. I can't even understand it, much less fix it. You ever been in trouble? You ever been had a trouble time or something, some circumstance to come up in your life, and you look at it and you don't even understand why? There's no explanation. Why is this happening to me? And there where you just back up and say, Lord, I don't understand all the ins and the outs, the whys and the whats. But Lord, I know this, I can't fix it. I can't fix it. You see, when you come to that place, then as a child of God, you begin to rely on the one that can fix it. And that's where the answer's at. Now, sometimes I know in life, God, here the other day, I was driving from a meeting, and my car started going, and I thought, here I am in the middle of nowhere, and my car's going, and I'm not a mechanic, I confess. I'm a shade tree, okay? Everything I know about cars, they quit making them about 20 years ago. And the stuff that's under the hood now, I open the hood and just, I check the oil and check transmission fluid. But beyond that, I can't even find stuff anymore under a car. They've hidden it. Amen. It's on the side or underneath, or maybe it's not even on there anymore. I don't know. I had a little courier, Ford Courier truck. It was manufactured in Japan and shipped over here. I opened the hood and looked on it, and everything under the hood had Japanese on it. I mean, the battery, all the writing was in Japanese, and I thought, no, I can't. Not only can't I fix it, I can't even read it. I don't even know what this is. I'm not a mechanic. And so I said, Lord, let this car run smooth. You said, is God a mechanic? He sure is. Amen. Don't ever buy a car from a preacher. Not because he's going to jip you. It's just because God's been holding that thing together for the last 15 years. And when you buy it, his hands off of it, it's going to fall apart in your parking lot. That's why preachers get 223 miles, 1,000 miles on a car. Amen. I understand good maintenance and all that, but they're going to wear out. And so I started praying, Lord, make this car run smooth. All of a sudden I thought, it's the gas. You see, I'd stopped along the road and filled up the car. It hadn't been doing that before. Now all of a sudden it's sputtering around. I thought, it's the gas. Now, I'm not a mechanic. I'm persuaded that God said, it's the gas. You say, Brother Steve, does he talk like that? He sure does. At least he does to me. Amen. God talks to me, and he talks to me in country. Amen. He says, that ain't the way it works. Amen. You say, does God talk like that? He may talk to you in the King's English, but he talks to me in North Georgia, Southern English. Well, he talks to me. Amen. He talks to you in your mind. Amen. Your thoughts. And so a few miles down the road, I pulled over to another gas station, put some fresh gas in, went in and found me some heat and some stuff that you put in to take care of water. And such. And guess what? It's running smooth again. Now, I don't have enough sense to do that kind of stuff, folks. God helps us in trouble. And you see, when you come to the place when the trouble is on and you realize you can't fix it, I can't fix that. What do you do? Where do you look? What do you turn? What knob do you push? What button do you push? What knob do you turn? I have no clue. And so God says, do this, and it works. And if you please, when you're facing uncertain times, untroubles and things in your life, job loss, just put it under the list, under trouble. Whatever it is you're facing in your life, come to the place that you realize you need somebody bigger than you to do something about it. And when you come to that place, it'll generate a trust and a reliance on the God of heaven. Amen. And that's what we need, especially in these days. We need to trust the Lord. Preacher talked about it this morning. We sung about it tonight. We need to trust God. Why? Because there's a God in heaven that's watching us, and he knows everything. You remember when the disciples, he told them to get in the boat, go to the other side, and he went up to a mountain to pray. And it said in the late hours of the night, it said he saw them on the sea toiling, because they were toiling and rowing because the storm was on them. He saw them. Now, they didn't realize he was watching, but he was. They no doubt didn't realize he could see them, but he could. Amen. And see, when troubles are on, we don't realize he's watching. Sometimes we don't even think he knows where we are. But God knows exactly where you are, child of God, and he knows the depth of the trouble you're in. And he's watching, and he does care for you. That's why Brother Larry sung this song tonight. Amen. I didn't tell him to sing it. He said, you want to sing this song? I said, hallelujah to God. Amen. I didn't say that to him. I was in my heart going, hey, praise God. Why? Because God watches us, and he knows where we are. So we need to let our prayers in those troublesome times be based upon his faithfulness, not ours. Notice with me in verse number 1, David saying, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. Now I realize there's a connection with right living and answered prayer. I know that. You got here to live like the devil, then you got no right to pray and say, God, help me do this. Because why should God answer you when you're not living for him? Amen. That's just plain old common sense. Amen. Why should the Lord show mercy anyway? If he does it all, it's his mercy and his grace. Amen. But when we're living for the Lord and we pray, it's not our living that gets it done. It's his faithfulness and his mercy and his grace that brings answers to prayer. Amen. And so David said as he prayed in trouble, Lord, in thy faithfulness answer me. Aren't you glad that the God you serve and know is faithful? Faithful. Mankind can let you down and will, and often they do. Preachers let you down. Deacons let you down. Sunday school teachers, even your closest friend even that one closer than anybody else, a husband or wife, we can let you down. But blessed be His name. He never lets you down. Amen. He's faithful. He's there. Understand and realize your weakness and your inability, because when you come to that place, bless God, you will turn it all over to Him and you'll put it on that altar and say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't fix this. Lord, I don't know what to do. That's why I spoke to my heart out of verse 8. But notice in verse 5, let's think something else quickly. It says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of my hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth for thee as a thirsty land. Not only do we need to realize we can't fix it, then as a child of God, when trouble comes our way, we need to just start spending some time with God. Get alone. Be with the Lord. Now, in this modern day, sometimes that's not an easy thing to do with work and other demands that all of us have to face. But somewhere, you get alone with God. And you unload your troubles in His presence. But to get along with Him, you've got to make the time. You see, it's not going to be this, how is it that I put it that time? I was preaching one time talking about praying and how we check in, we check off, and we check out. You say, what do you mean, preacher? We check in. Hey, Lord, it's me. We check off. Here's my prayer list. Check, 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 check. And then we say, bye, Lord, I'm gone, and we check out. Sad to say, sometimes that's the sum total of our praying. But when trouble's on, folk pray longer. And it's time we got along with God. Now, let me say something right quickly. Our nation is in a mess. And if somebody don't pray for, we're going down the tube fast. So it's time that God's people got along with God for our country. Amen. But you know what? When trouble comes in the individual Christian life, the only hope you really have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're going to get anything done, you're going to have to spend some time with the Master. Amen. That's what David was doing here. He was on trouble on every side. He was. What was it? He said he was. They've smitten my life down to the ground. David was down. He was as low as he could get. And so, what does he do? I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. David started spending time with God. And he started remembering what God had done. And that's the amazing thing about answered prayer. Answered prayer ought to behoove us to pray. Sad to say, God will answer prayer and then we face a new trouble and we've forgotten that. And we got to go through all this learning experience all over again and God answers prayer and then we go down further the road, we hit with another circumstance and we've forgotten. But what God wants us to remember is that if He answered prayer back there, He'll answer prayer here. And if He answered prayer here, He'll answer prayer up there too. Amen. God's faithful. God's consistent. We may not be, but He is. Amen. And so David began to meditate and spend time thinking on the things that God had done. The book of Deuteronomy. I may have mentioned this before in preaching. Deuteronomy is a book of repetition. Because Moses in Deuteronomy simply went over and over and over and over and over the children of Israel what God had done for them in the wilderness and wandering 40 years. Brought you across the Red Sea. Fed you with quail. Fed you with bread from heaven. Manna. Ate heaven's food. Angel's food is called in one place. He reminded them all that stuff. And now he was telling them, see, if God did that, then He'll go with you across Jordan when you go into Promised Land. That's what he was doing. And we need to meditate. We need to remember on those kind of things. You see, if we'll remember his goodness, then it makes us want to desire his presence. For David said, as he began to muse on the things of the Lord, then verse 6, he said, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Let me ask you a question, child of God. How thirsty are you for God's presence? You know, I'm persuaded that in our churches across this land, if God's children begin to desire and thirst after God's presence, you wouldn't have to have revival meetings. You'd be in one. There would be a presence of God that would cloud over our churches that would rival the Shekinah glory of the tabernacle of the wilderness. I'm persuaded that if we thirsted and sought after God, and I'm not talking about getting saved. No, you say that opens the door, amen. That gains you entrance into the throne room of God because you've been born again. Amen. And when trouble comes, if we'd only learn to seek after God, we'd get some answers. And if we'd only learn that we could seek after God before trouble comes, well, wouldn't it change our services, amen? Wouldn't it change our lifestyle? Amen. Well, wouldn't it change our prayer life? It would affect everything about us for the glory of God if we'd get thirsty after the Lord. You know, that's what, if you read through and do a study of the revivals in the Old Testament, Israel always came to a place that they started crying after the Lord. Remember when Moses is on the backside of the desert keeping his father-in-law's sheep some 40 years? And the Lord appeared to him in that burning bush and he said, I have heard the cry of my people. Now his people are still down in Egypt's land under the yoke of the Pharaoh. Under that great bondage. And my goodness, praise say, it's killing their babies. All this was going on. God spoke to Moses and he said, I've heard. He goes on to say in that text, I've come down to see. So God not only heard the cry of Israel, God came down and looked. And then he turned around and he said, now Moses, I'm going to send thee to get my people. You see, we got a God in heaven that loves us as his people. He cares for us. And we need to begin to thirst after him like that again. Every great revival of the Old Testament time was also always preceded by a time of God's people thirsting and longing for him. And you know when we'll experience revival in this modern day? When we get that same kind of thirst. When we get that same kind of, Lord, I need you. When we get that same, the same way we are in trouble. Lord, everybody's in trouble calls out. I've heard many a man in the military say, there's no atheist in a foxhole. A lot of truth to that. Amen. Somebody shooting at you, you're going to talk to somebody bigger than them. Amen. And just like when I was driving down the road, my car started sputtering. First thing I did, Lord. That's the natural response when trouble comes. And if we could only translate that kind of seeking God into the time when we have revival. And seek after God's face is amazing. You've got to come to the place that you put your trust in Him and nobody else. Now, I want to say publicly, I thank God for the doctors we have. We got some good doctors seeing after Barbara. Praise the Lord for that. I'm for taking vitamins and eating straw and any, you know, anything else to help you. Amen. I'm for that. Praise the Lord for that. But I thank God we got good doctors.
Amen.
Amen. God gave them to us. And all these advances in medicine and treatments and all that, that's come because the Lord. The Lord's opened their eyes, helped me and understand that. We're not that smart. I understand that some men are brilliant men, but God has given them that brilliance. And understand that. And so, I'm not for not seeking medical assistance, but at the same time, I'm for talking to the chief physician. Amen? The great physician. I'm for talking to the one in charge. Because he can give these men wisdom and direction. We started praying for her doctors after we began to go and they told us what it was. We started praying that God would give them wisdom what to do. Because I didn't know what to do. No, I can't fix this. God can fix it, sure. And God can use them. And so we started praying for direction. But in all of that, we are trying to maintain that our trust is not in our physicians. Our trust is in the Lord who directs our physicians. Because in trouble, you learn that you can't fix it. But in trouble, you need to spend time alone with God. So look at one other place. Look with me in verse number 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. The last thing I want to call your attention to in this chapter is this. David surrendered to the will of God. Now, I mentioned a while ago that I'm praying that God will touch Barb, but I am. And I will tell you after a period of time whether he has or not, because we'll know. And I'm praying God will do that because he can. But if you please, and please, I hope you take this rightly, we are praying God's will be done no matter what. Because God Almighty is God Almighty. And the way He chooses is right. Now, can I explain that? No. Am I praying? God touch her. But at the same time, I know that our God loves me. And He loves her. And He loves His children. And He loves us too much to do wrong. For He's God. So you understand, you surrender to the will of God no matter what comes. You say, what if it's not what you expect? Then I'm persuaded that the grace to walk through that valley will be there when we need it. I've learned by experience that the grace of God is sufficient. I have learned by experience that no matter what comes, God's grace is real. And it'll help you through trouble if you'll only learn to trust Him. If you'll only learn to trust Him. Notice with me in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and I'm done. The book of Philippians chapter number 4. When trouble comes. Philippians chapter 4, notice with me, I'll read verse 5 also. Verse 5, 6, and 7. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're encouraged in Hebrews to come boldly under the throne, that we can find grace to help in time of need. Jesus tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 1, that He spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so, child of God, when trouble comes, you surrender to His will, but you come before Him and you plead your petitions, amen, knowing full well that God gives you audience and God can change things, amen, if we'll only trust. Ask Him. What is it James tells us? You ask not, or you have not because you ask not. Sometimes the reason we don't see miracles in our life, and I'm not one of these, you know, please, I'm, you know, no, not that. But understand this, the reason I think we see so few miracles and God do, so few times do the hard things, is just because we just don't ask Him. Afraid maybe because we just don't believe He will or He could. You see, there's a God in heaven that though you may not see that loved one, that son or daughter or grandchild, whoever's away from God, though you may not be around them, there's a God in heaven knows where they are. And if we'll pray and ask God, God ring their bell. That's country talk, amen. But God rings people's bell, amen. And He can if we'll only ask. So in this thing of trouble, don't give up. Don't give out. Hang on. Hang on. Trust. Pray. Trust the Lord. Pray. Ask Him. Plead your petitions before God. Remember who He is. Honor Him for who He is. And serve Him because of who He is. You see, if revival comes, it's going to come because we get hungry. If healing comes for her, it's going to come because we've been pleading. If God chooses not to, He's still God. He's still right. And His will is still best for us. Amen? We understand that. But I'm going to ask. I'm going to pray. And if we have revival in these few days here in this meeting, it's going to come because we ask and we plead and we get hungry and we seek His face. Buddy, when trouble comes, we ought to seek God. But if revival comes, we're going to have to seek God. Let me challenge you. I want to challenge you tonight. Get to this place that be like David. My spirit's overwhelmed, but then in verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto Thee. Bring your case to God. Let's pray. Father,